We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The all-new Bernstein and Holmes Show, middays 10 a.m. till 2, on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Dan Bernstein.
The prospect humpers out there are an interesting breed, man.
What are you talking?
You know what I mean. The people get all, it's all about, here comes this guy, here comes that guy, just you wait.
Lawrence Holmes.
Don't come out here with an angry face and tell me everyone's so upset that we didn't get this done. I haven't slept and I'm in a crap mood. You know who else hasn't slept and is in a crap mood? Everyone that's watched your... I almost curse, Rick. Your damn team. And then you sit up there and act like you don't have any control over it. Everything is just happening around you. And if that was the job that you signed up for, then you should have taken my advice 2 years ago and quit. Otherwise, quit your bitching and do your job.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk.
Dan has now got a new podcast called Prospect Humpers.
You get so excited about him. What are you doing slobbering all over prospects?
Hi, I'm Dan Bernstein. Welcome to Prospect Humpers.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We got a shorty for you today. It's your birthday. Because we have Cubs baseball coming up after the rainout yesterday. So we will lead you up to Cubs-Cardinals pregame at 11:40, talking about a bunch of stuff here on The Score. Bernstein and Holmes, broadcasting live in the Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And yes, I'm wearing a yellow shirt. You've never seen me in a yellow shirt before, because I don't think I've ever worn one.
Really?
Ever. Lawrence got this for me. It was so sweet. He was on a website and they had like vintage old hip hop stuff. And you saw his Public Enemy shirt. Yes, so I figured might as well break this out. And this is nice. And everybody in my family was like, Dad, what is that? Are you going to work somewhere where you have to wear that? Is that, is it, no? Like what? No one in my wife of 23 years had never seen me in a yellow shirt before. So, and I don't, it just so happens. I don't know. I don't own one until now.
Do you want me to get you the one that's in white instead?
No, because that'll be like gravy stains on it in 30 seconds. I cannot own white clothing. I mean, pants, forget it.
I'm pretty sure. I have to check, but I'm pretty sure that matches the color of the tape of the Paul's Boutique album.
It's great.
Pretty sure that's the idea behind the yellow.
I don't care anymore. Even though it's just never been a good color for me, skin tone wise, and that because I'm not allowed to wear like salmon color and like dark pinks and stuff like that because my wife just will immediately throw them out.
Because you're not Steve Harvey.
Yeah, I'm not. But I just realized this is, I think, my first time, certainly ever here. I now own one. So that's that. There's your yellow shirt story. So that's just
twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore if you want to see Dan's Beastie Boys t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good shirt.
It is.
I'll wear my Roots one next week. Because that's what I went on. I was like, oh, it was Questlove and Black Thought as Peanuts characters. Like playing.
That's cool.
So I'll wear that next week. And I got Layla a shirt too. And then I got Mike watches.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I brought the watches
you came
in
through.
For Mike. I felt like Lenny from Good Times. Hey, I'm Lenny. And he'd open up his coat and he'd have a TV in there. It's basically like I gave Mike like a big old bag of watches.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which one is that? Is that a...
I don't know.
I think it's a Kenneth Cole.
They're nice.
I think they're all Kenneth Cole watches.
They're sweet. We got studs in the back looking them over, too.
Okay, good. If you guys need watches, there's
wow,
extra watches.
Wristwatch Santa Claus in here.
Why not? Let some handsome young men go out there and have a timepiece for themselves.
Nice.
Right?
You have any like a old-fashioned pocket watch?
No, I don't. But no? I thought that I only had like one super nice watch. It turns out when I went through the inventory last night, I have two super nice watches. So I'm keeping those.
The one that the Chicago Rush gave me for the Arena Bowl championship is sweet. It is really nice with like this inscription on it and everything.
Did you get a ring or was it just the watch?
No, I didn't rise to level of ring.
Yeah, because I know some people with the 05 White Sox that they were down the trough and they ended up getting watches. And I wonder, like, the ring is cool. Like, you obviously like having
but
a champion.
You're never going to wear it.
Right. You're never going to wear it.
I would much rather have the watch. I must have something with some practical use, you know? And well, you can keep that championship ring and say... Anytime you hear about one of those things being sold, it means something's gone horribly wrong in your life.
Right.
Right?
That's kind of how like I felt like when I was going through the watches last night. I'm like, these watches are just sitting here. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Mike Rankin could be out in these streets with a watch on.
He
can show it off when Freedom 35 has another...
Tonight.
See? It's Thursday.
See?
It's Thursday. So, but you wouldn't wear it while competing, though.
Absolutely not.
Would you?
Well, no. No, because I can't.
Right.
Equilibrium, all that.
Sure. That would change the delivery
Absolutely.
And all that. You're very, very careful with it. You have a routine. You know, you start stretching at the same time.
Sure. I put the right sock on first, left sock, you know.
It's all good. So, you know, I got to figure out something to get Ray because I feel like everyone's been taken care of but Ray. Mike got watches. Dan and Layla got T-shirts. What do you want, Ray?
Hey, man, I'm happy just being here, man.
I'm thinking.
That's
I think
the most Ray answer of all
right,
time.
Right, like I don't need anything because I'm just the nicest person ever.
It's all good, baby.
I'm thinking a cap for you, Ray. I think that might be the move for you.
I'll take a cap.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll start looking for a cap for Ray.
By the way, Brittany Griner has just been found guilty of drug smuggling as expected. A Russian judge has announced the guilty verdict and the sentencing is expected to be revealed shortly. Prosecutors in Russia are asking for a 9.5-year prison sentence. And regardless of what the sentence is going to be, that would activate diplomacy that, well, it seems likely to result in a very dangerous Russian arms dealer being sent back free.
Or multiple.
Yes, or multiple. But that's just the latest there, and we will keep you apprised of everything that goes on there if you are interested in that very complicated and ugly situation. But let me ask you one thing about from what we heard from Jed today. Ian Happ made it clear that, A, he's very involved when it comes to his professional future, contract negotiations, etc. And he said something like, you don't hear anything about what's happening. Because you asked him, like, are you kept up to speed? And he said, you don't hear a thing. Jed made it sound like there was more dialogue than Ian described. Jed said, we were in touch with the players and their agents saying this wasn't necessarily a fait accompli, et cetera.
That's why I asked Ian about his agent, too.
Right. What are we missing in there?
I'm not sure. And maybe it's because, like, some people speculated when I was talking about it on Twitter that they wanted to make sure that there weren't any leaks. So you're doing this so that you don't let anything get out. I am inclined to believe player over executive. I'm wired that way.
That makes sense for good reason.
Because I feel like for Ian and or Willie, they don't really have a reason to lie about that. And I just think that Jed's got to earn it. And I think that for the last year and a half, there's been an assumption that he knows how to do this job because he did it in San Diego and he worked with Theo. I don't want to say four because I feel like it was more collaborative than just a flow chart down. But now he's calling the shots. Instead of making suggestions, he's making decisions. And I think that it's important that we judge him on the decisions that he's making. And so far, when I look at the decisions that Jed Hoyer has made, I kind of go, is there anything special that, you know how we keep looking for it with Justin Fields? I'm looking for the thing that makes Jed Hoyer special. And I haven't seen it yet. So I'm less willing to give him the benefit of the doubt until we start to see some of that progress. And hearing him inside of the interview with Mully and Haw talk about being a few years away.
Yeah, that was a big takeaway there in the Juan Soto answer about where their window or the prospect of a window may be.
Which then makes you question, then why did you make that move for Seiya Suzuki? Why did you make the move for Marcus Stroman? Like, it doesn't... I know that innings have to be pitched. Someone has to pitch those innings. And there's value in that. But I'm like, what happened here?
I also do know that as you are building, that along your perspective path on the chart, there are also ups and downs within that. That sometimes your progress is nonlinear. And it may be that they want to keep open the possibility of a hot year and making a wild card run, et cetera. It happened to him a couple years ago, but it was a weird, you know, the whole pandemic season, you can't really count that. But maybe a lot, having some veteran talent, not a full rebuild, not a full tear down, whatever you want to call it, keeps alive the possibility of you get some higher on their continuum overachievers in the same year. Maybe you can sell high on some guys at the deadline, et cetera. But I just want transparency in that regard. That's the only thing. Just say, we're still not there yet, but if we have a good year, we might add a little bit, and maybe we'll see how far this run takes us here if we get into the playoffs and get a little hot. And it doesn't necessarily mean the macro has changed.
I still think that your assertion about the compensation part of it is the most important thing when we're talking about Wilson Contreras. How can you believe that the best thing to do after the emotional roller coaster that the players were put on was that the best compensation available is probably like the lowest piece of compensation that you can get for Wilson Contreras?
And he to hold him to his word, he said the value of Contreras and Happ to the Cubs as players and people was higher than what they could have gotten back. So what's the measurable value of them? If you're talking about this holistic global value, okay, maybe that's true, but to what end?
With I want to almost separate the two players because Happ has a year of control left. So while it would have made sense for them to trade him, I understand not trading Ian Happ. I don't understand not trading Wilson Contreras. To me, those are two separate things. And there hasn't been an explanation, whether it was the 26-minute press conference that Jed had or the 10-minute conversation that he had with Mully and Haw. Each time that I've heard him, I have not been satisfied that he just didn't get got. That's what it feels like to me. You got. And it's... I actually think that it's okay to be like, I read the market wrong on this. Instead of trying to, after the fact, kind of like, oh, well, they're people and they're valuable to us. Well, in the meantime, there have been forces, and Jed's even come out and said some of the stuff about Wilson as a defensive catcher that makes me think that you've been lessening his value instead of trying to raise his value before you traded him.
We've got White Sox talk coming up with Ryan McGuffey, senior producer at NBC Sports Chicago. Sox got a nice win yesterday, but were not able to gain any ground on the division leaders or the team in between them and the division leaders. We'll talk about that next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
They've been standing for a while, 2-2. That will do it. Liam Hendricks sends everyone home with a 4-1 Sox win. Putting the Sox 2 over .500 for the first time since the third week of April. 53-51, and still 2 games back in the Central.
Yay, a 3-run homer, and it's 70% correlation with winning. Incredible. Sometimes this game is so easy. When you hit 3-run homers, you tend to win. You win 70% of the time. It's a crazy stat, I know.
You also get good starting pitching yesterday. Nice effort from Lance Lynn, especially with the delay and then the other delay and then the other delay because the field wasn't quite ready.
Here to talk White Sox with us is Ryan McGuffey, senior producer at NBC Sports Chicago on Twitter, at Ryan McGuffey, and with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Ryan, we keep wondering when that turn is going to come, when things are just going to magically be better. But have they, over the last week, maybe done so?
Oh, boy. Good to be with you guys. I'm kind of with you. Like, we're starting, we've been trying to pinpoint, like, oh, here's the stretch, here's the takeoff point. I don't want to get ahead of myself anymore. Like, I'm kind of like, even like Han the other day when he was just like, I'm done talking about prognosticating and projections and what might be. But I mean, if you look at the numbers, you know, I just was kind of doing a deep dive right before I came on here, and you know, they are one of the best records over the last month of any team in the American League. It doesn't feel like it just because of the roller coaster up and down. But as they've gotten guys back and as they're continuing to get guys back, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, but, you know, look at what Aloy's done. I know he's only played 2 games in the third spot. That kind of feels right with the way him and Abreu are going right now. And Luis Robert to do back tonight in the lineup as a DH. So, yeah, I think the offense has to – it's the last stretch of the season here, the home stretch, like the last 58 games left of the season. This is all on the offense. To me, it's the spotlight should be squarely on Yasmani Grandal, Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert, and Eloy Jimenez, because those are the guys the White Sox invested in long-term. And if their contracts play out, that's $300-plus million in those four guys. And if they don't perform, the White Sox don't win the Central. I think we're at the point of the season where that's just the bottom line. And if they don't turn it around, if those four guys – don't perform, they're going to finish short of the Minnesota Twins. I think that's where we are. I mean, they are who they are 104 games into the season. They're 2 games above .500. Everything that they're very fortunate to play in the American League Central, and everything that they want is right there in front of them. I mean, this could end with a division title and get into October, and it should, but at the point of trying to pick who's going to do it and who's going to perform, are there going to be injuries? I don't know. It's that's the roller coaster this has been.
Guff, what do you make of how the Luis Robert situation has been handled?
It's weird. It's weird. I don't know. Like, I feel like depending on who you talk to, you know, I mean, Tony was, it's just the whole thing seems weird, doesn't it? Even when Rick the other day said it was a vitamin deficiency and that this problem could pop up again, that they were talking about diet and vitamin supplements to that cause lightheadedness and nausea and dizziness and blurred vision. It just seems like to me, like still undiagnosed. Now, maybe it is behind closed doors. It just feels like there's questions that are still remaining. And even the way that Robert is kind of projected to play this week, you know, DH, then a game in center field, then an off day. And then I think back in the outfield on Sunday, that, even that just feels like a kind of a a projected plan. It's just hard to me, it's going to be like, how does he feel after today? You can't guarantee that something's not going to pop back up and that he can just automatically play on Friday. I think it's day-to-day with Luis Robert. It's weird. It's frustrating. But look, if he's got lightheadedness and blurred vision, that seems pretty serious to me. So to me, Luis Robert's a day-to-day guy. I don't think you can just say, like, here's our four-day plan, here's our week-long plan, here's our month-long plan. I just think with him right now, getting him back, I mean, he hasn't played in 3 weeks pretty much. So it's just, I don't know how you feel about it, but it just seems very strange because Tony almost got to a point where he was kind of contradicting himself. And then just the vitamin supplement thing, it just seems like a very strange process.
I want to go back to the answer to the first question where we talked about you. There's one thing you didn't mention, and that was winning the World Series.
Hmm.
You mentioned win the Central and what they are and can they win the Central. When did this happen? Like, when did we decide?
When did we downgrade?
When did we, and obviously the odds makers, and we've seen it all happen. We know it. So we're all talking about the same thing here. But are we all in agreement generally that nobody thinks the White Sox are going to win the World Series this year?
I don't think they will. I said that the other day on a podcast after the trade deadline. I felt that, especially after the trade deadline came and went, and Jake Diekman was the lone addition. And that was even, I mean, that was kind of a salary dump on the rest. He's been great looking two performances and two outings, but I don't think they have enough, Dan. I mean, the naked eye tells me, the eye test tells you that, doesn't it? I just don't think they're deep enough to win the World Series. And especially when you see what all of the other teams that would be possible contenders are contenders and that the odds makers have adjusted to be the front runners deserve to be the front runners right now. And you're talking about teams that are 35 games over 500 and are clearly better than the White Sox. And that's just a fact. I can the White Sox win the World Series and get hot? Sure. Absolutely. I mean, we've seen it before. That's how baseball works. You got to get in and then anything happens. I just don't think that this team is built to win in October as currently constructed. I think there are issues and there are warts that have shown. And I don't think you can hide those come October. They're not a good fielding team. They're one of the worst fielding teams in baseball. They have a flawed lineup, even though we haven't seen them all together. And I think they have the starting pitching to get it done. The bullpen has been shaky. It seems like it's kind of falling into form here. They're not a good base running team. And I think in the postseason, that stuff matters. If you can't field, you can't run the bases. And then the little thing, like, I don't think the coaching staff has got the X factor to win the World Series when it comes time to play the game of chess in October in the fifth inning of a playoff series. So, yeah, Dan, like I think they can win the AL Central. Like that's what I think the 2022 White Sox can do, which is frustrating because it's not like it's our expectations in the preseason that they could win the World Series. The team and the organization put that message out there. And they were capable of winning the AL Central last year, and when they got to the postseason to play the Astros, they were not the better team. They did not have enough to advance, and they don't have enough to advance right now, and I think that should frustrate people. It should frustrate the organization. It should frustrate the players, and it should frustrate the fan base. It should.
Guff, when I look at the guys that they bought out arbitration years for, and I think that those were smart moves. I really do. I wonder if at the end of this, when there's an actual review, if Rick is still in charge of the White Sox at the end of it, I wonder if they'll change the way, whatever their decision-making process is for fast-tracking a prospect to the major leagues and buying out arbitration years, if they'll start to change what it is that they're looking for before that. Because there's some player who it feels like their development is just stopped, and I'm not sure where to place that blame on.
I agree with you. I don't know if it should change the way they approach buying out arbitration and team-friendly deals, because I agree. I thought that the players that they identified for the long term were the right – those are the guys that they hitched their wagon to anyway. So when they acquired them for the big pieces that they dealt away, and I thought that they were great. I still think they're good contracts. They were good.
Me too.
It was a good idea, you know. But I think changes are going to be made in the offseason. They have to be made. Like, they can't stand pat. And I would be stunned if some of these bigger names, if they all returned in 2023. I just think that it's whether it's development, complacency, I don't know. I just think that they have to change the roster to be a more contending roster to win what Dan said, the World Series. Because I don't think, for whatever reason, in 2020, we've seen enough now from this group that it just feels like they don't have enough to be the team that can win the World Series and be in contention for multiple World Series. Like I said this the other day, we celebrated last year the fact that they went back-to-back postseasons. And like this was some kind of magical achievement. And it was for an organization that had never done it before. But think about that. That's partly on us.
It's an expanded postseason now, too.
I know. Like, there's going to be a 500 or maybe a two games over 500 team that makes the wild card. And it's an expanded postseason game. And we're celebrating the fact that the White Sox went to the postseason back-to-back season. I'm like mad at myself that we put a graphic out last year about that, because it just, why are we celebrating that? Because it's not get to the finish line. Stop talking about 2005 and make this team. Like, I was thinking about the 16 Cubs, like that stretch. So there are people who think they failed. Look, they won the World Series and then they were in three straight NLCSs. I don't think the White Sox right now could win the World Series and be in three straight ALCSs as currently constructed. So there's a lot of work to do, because you're going to have some of these team-friendly deals, Lawrence, that you were talking about. They're going to come up sooner than later. Like these years that are just kind of ticking away means that fewer years with these players that you identified to be part of multiple contending championships. They won't be here for that. That's why prospects are prospects when you're winning, when your window is open. You don't care about an ETA of 2025 or 2026 on a guy if you're trying to win the World Series in 22, 23, and 24. That's just the way I look at prospects. Like, I get there are guys who are valued and ranked in the top 100. We don't know a damn thing about how it's going to translate come when they get to the big leagues. Like, yeah, that's a great package for Juan Soto. They got a lot of talent in Washington. They can't tell you. There's not one guy that can tell you if two of those players are going to be all-stars. They traded the best, one of the top three players in the game, and the San Diego Padres for three seasons, they don't even have to sign him. For three seasons, the San Diego Padres are going for it. That's what I thought the White Sox were going to be more like the Padres. I kind of identified like 3-4 years ago, like their past looked similar. They're probably going to do it the exact same way. And obviously, you know, the Padres are just compiling an all-star team, and there's envy. There should be envy there. There should be envy.
Yeah, look at
all jacked up.
The Padres the Padres fired their manager to hire Bob Melvin. If you want to look at one move, they fired Jace Tingler to hire Bob Melvin. It's obviously a loaded comment that I'm making, and it's one that should be obvious to everybody involved in this conversation and listening to it. Ryan McGuffey, thank you so much for joining us today. It was great.
Anytime, guys.
That's Ryan McGuffey, senior producer, NBC Sports Chicago.
I love that he can be your first guest on Prospect Humpers.
I was going to say that. That's the inaugural episode of Prospect Humpers. Yes. You're producing for me. I love it. You should put it on House of L.
We could totally do it. I'm fine with it. It would do
tonight.
Big numbers. Coming up.
Next. This hour is brought to you by Busey Bank. And when we come back, something is not adding up about the Bears and the Tevin Jenkins thing. Somebody's lying about something. We're going to try to just unwind that a bit next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2. On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Score, score, score.
And 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
It's been a week since we've seen Tevin Jenkins. Has he been at the facility this week?
Yeah, Tevin's in that group where, you know, he's working with the trainers, and he'll be back when he's back.
Has he been here this week?
To work with the trainers. Yeah, he's in the building, sure.
No one's seen him, though, Flusie.
if a guy is in your plans, he's not just there to work with the trainers. There are other things that go on besides what happens on the practice field to get a team ready to play football.
And even if he is working with the trainers, when those practices start and his positional group is going through reps, that guy's out there.
Correct.
That guy is watching the reps and listening to the teaching. Why are you even if he is working with the trainers, why are you keeping him from the field? Why not just put him on a reserve, some kind of reserve list or suspended list or something? Someone is lying.
Why are you keeping him from meetings? Because what Flusi said there was that, yeah, he's here to work with the trainers. He should also be in the meeting rooms with the offensive line. He should also be in the all-team meetings that happen. He shouldn't just be there to work out. This isn't a gym membership. So something is off with this. And obviously there have been the reports. NFL Network had the report that the Bears are shopping Tevin Jenkins. What I don't understand is why the Bears are... like, this is one of those things where I understand some of the secrecy that goes on around sports and some of the reasons for it. This is one of those things where it feels like you're being secretive to be secretive.
I also, we have seen situations where an NFL player falls out of favor with a team for whatever reason, and it's never pretty. It's always kind of gross the way that it gets handled. But usually you find out that the player's unlikable, hard to work with, terrible work ethic, whatever it is. Tevin Jenkins doesn't seem like that guy. He's also just a tackle. Like, if it's a quarterback or a wide receiver, and you start as
a linebacker,
but it's very rare to hear it about somebody who just pushes people backward for a living.
Right. I can't speak to his work ethics. They would know better than I. And I am judging by what other people have told me about Tevin Jenkins. And we asked Grody earlier this week about what is he like as a guy. It doesn't seem like he's a bad guy. That doesn't mean that he's a good worker.
Right.
And if he's a bad worker, then you need to be rid of him.
Well, if they're trying to trade him, there's also the marketplace. There's also the idea of you don't want to put something out there, or maybe they can't tell the truth because they're worried about declining value and taking a second round pick for whom the team traded up. But Poles can't worry about Pace's reputation.
Right.
Poles can't worry about Pace's investment.
Right. So why play the game? If he's not your guy, he's not your guy. I think most people would understand that. Tevin had a significant guarantee, and it stinks that you would be moved on from the team that drafted you. But the team may have drafted you, but these people did not.
Right.
So there isn't any loyalty there. It's just a really strange and it seems unfortunate way that they're going about this. So I'm not sure what truth there is to tell, but it doesn't seem like they're doing it.
Certainly not. It doesn't, there's no reason to think that he's just working with trainers because this is 100% injury related. No way. There's no way.
And usually, and even with an injury that happened earlier this week with Thomas Graham, you at least say what the area is that the injury is in. And if this is a guy with a bad back, that's also not your fault. Those were some of the red flags on the medicals for him last year coming out in the draft. So I'm not sure what the Bears are doing with this. But what I can tell you is that they clearly aren't. If Tevin Jenkins is in the plans for him to play as a Bear, I don't think they're going about this the right way. Because even if you're not getting the on-field work, everything else needs to then take place. He needs to be in meetings. You're right. He does need to take the mental reps on the field. And a lot of times what happens with NFL players, if there's a guy that's physically working through some stuff, you know where we usually see him doing some of the cardio stuff? on the field while the rest of the guys are practicing. So it's my issue with the Bears is that it feels like they're hiding something. And the relative value of them hiding something to me on this is low. Yeah, so
that's exactly the point. What do they have to gain by making it this weird? That's the missing piece for me. What don't we know that is forcing them to make it this weird? And maybe we'll find out that there was some sort of strange HIPAA regulation involved here.
A mitigating circumstance.
We went through this with Roquan Smith's absence a while back, where what's happening, and trying to ferret out what was going on based on what they could and couldn't say and weren't saying, some of that negative space. But that detective work starts to feel a little icky. Because we just don't know.
Right.
And even Jenkins was on Twitter himself. Someone said, is everything okay? Based on what we read, we're unsure. And Jenkins tweeted, don't believe everything you read or hear.
Right.
And like, well, what shouldn't... If the player is saying don't believe it, I'm inclined to think that there's stuff that we shouldn't believe.
And is the player then talking about don't believe the organization when they tell you this?
I don't know.
I can see it as being as simple as he's not a fit.
They don't like him.
Forget about whether they like him. He's not a fit for what it is that their offensive line is going to do going forward. There's no shame in that. I imagine that with a second round grade, in some places a first round grade on Tevin Jenkins, that there would be a couple of systems around the NFL that would be willing to take a risk on that if for him fitting into their system. I think it's bad fit, number one. Now, I don't know about what Tevin is like in the football office. I just don't know. They are making it seem like he's awful, though. Because if you don't even trust him to be in your meetings, if he's really just using your facility as a place to rehab, that sounds like something went horribly wrong this summer. And maybe that part is on you. Maybe they did put him on a program to try to make him fit into the box, and it didn't go well.
More questions have to be asked. Especially a first-time head coach who doesn't seem to know how to not say stuff yet. There more questions need to be asked about this. He needs to be pinned down. This Bears training camp segment is brought to you by Marquette Bank. Love where you bank. We're about 40 minutes away from Cubs pregame, Cubs and Cardinals game, one of a doubleheader coming up here on your home for Cubs baseball, Sports Radio 670. Patrick Mooney of The Athletic will give us his thoughts, maybe his reaction to, in part, what he heard on these airwaves from Jed Hoyer today, as we try to figure out where the Cubs are telling us they are right now and where they think they will be.
We're going to do a whole lot of Cubs, a whole lot of Cubs. A whole lot of Cubs leading up to the Cubs-Cardinals game. So we're going to try to get to the bottom of a lot of stuff. You're going to hear from Jed Hoyer. All of that is coming up in the next hour. Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.